Amen. So before I begin, of course, I want to thank Pastor for the opportunity to preach. It's always an honor to get to be asked to preach, and so I don't take it lightly, so thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity. And so there in Nehemiah 5, and Nehemiah 5, of course, the book of Nehemiah, we see God's people returning to Jerusalem from the captivity, and they're there with Nehemiah as their leader, rebuilding the wall there in Jerusalem. And if you know the book of Nehemiah, you know, of course, Nehemiah is battling the enemies of the Lord. But as we'll see tonight, Nehemiah is also battling his own people. He's battling God's own people. And in Nehemiah 5, we see one request that I kind of want to highlight to you right now in verse number 19. One prayer request from Nehemiah to God. He says this in verse number 19. He says, "Think upon me, my God," notice, "for good." And that's a great prayer request that Nehemiah, obviously a man of God, he obviously wrote the book of Nehemiah. He's going to God saying, "God, I want you to think of me according to the good." He says, "For good," notice, "according to all that I have done for this people." See, God's request for Nehemiah, or Nehemiah's request unto God, is that God would remember and think about Nehemiah for the good that Nehemiah has done toward his people. And look, this is a great request. And this is a request that you and I should have in our lives, that we should desire and want God to look at us, that we would live in such a way that we would seek God's attention for the good that you and I would do in our lives. And we see this Nehemiah, and say, how did Nehemiah live a life that was seeking God's attention? Because look, all of us can sit here and say, look, oh, I do good things in my life, or, you know, I do these things that I want God to look down upon me. But, you know, this phrase here, "think upon me, my God, for good," Nehemiah says something similar to this several times in the book of Nehemiah, and we'll look at it tonight. But there's certain times when he says it, and for certain reasons, after certain things that happened in his life. And tonight, I want to point out three ways that Nehemiah sought God's attention, and the same way that you and I could seek God's attention as well. And number one, we see Nehemiah is good towards the people of God. There in verse number 19, again, Nehemiah says, "Think upon me, my God, for good." You say, why? Based upon what, Nehemiah? According, notice, "to all that I have done for this people." And the first point we see is that Nehemiah did good towards the people of God. And in chapter number 5, we're going to read through it again. But we see in chapter 5, Nehemiah gets angry with the way that God's people are being mistreated by God's own people. And at this time, as we see that there's a famine in the land, there's economic hardship, people are struggling financially. Nehemiah 5, look at verse number 1, let's see the condition of the people. Nehemiah 5, 1, again, the Bible says, "And there was a great cry of the people and of their wives," notice, "against who? Against their brethren, the Jews. For there were that said, 'We, our sons and our daughters are many, therefore we take up corn for them,'" notice, "that we may eat and live." I want you to understand, people at this time were not eating. They were dying from hunger. And here the people were crying to Nehemiah, and they were just scouring the earth for food so they can just eat and just live. In verse number 3, it goes on, it says, "And some also said, 'There were that said, we have mortgaged our lands, vineyards, and houses, that we might buy corn.'" You say, why? Because of the dearth. Because of a famine. So see, God's people mortgaging their lands, giving up what possessions they had, just so they can get some money so they can just buy food and just survive physically. Verse number 4, notice, "There were also that said, we have borrowed money for the king's tribute, and that upon our lands and vineyards. Yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, and our children as their children. And lo, we bring into bondage our sons and our daughters to be servants, and some of our daughters are brought unto bondage already. Neither is it in our power to redeem them, for other men have our lands and vineyards." See, when the people are saying, like, other men have our lands and our vineyards, he's referring to other believers, other people who are God's own people. See, God's people were dying and starving to death, and they had to just mortgage their lands, give up their property, give up what physical they had, mortgage it so they could just get money from other believers in order to pay the king's tribute, in order to buy food, just so they could survive and live. And we see that some people are mistreating God's people at this time. And notice the reaction from Nehemiah, the spiritual leader. In verse number 6, he says, "And I was very angry when I heard their cry and these words." And that's a great response. Whenever you hear that, you know, your brother in Christ is being mistreated, is being trampled upon, is being used by other believers, you should get very angry. See, Nehemiah said, "I was very angry when I heard the cry in these words." And look, you ought to just get angry sometimes in life as a Christian. And just don't get so apathetic in life that just nothing makes you upset. You're just cold. You just don't care anymore. You ought to just get angry sometimes. And Nehemiah, he was very angry. Notice in verse 7, "Then I consulted with myself." And, you know, as we're going to keep reading, when he says, I consulted with myself, Nehemiah, knowing the scriptures, being a man of God who actually read the word of God, when he said he consulted with himself, he's not consulting with his own heart. No, he's consulting, as we'll see, with what the Bible actually says. Then I consulted with myself, and notice, and I rebuked the nobles and the rulers. Again, here we see Nehemiah standing up to who? Standing up to God's own people. I rebuked the nobles and the rulers and said unto them, notice, ye exact usury, every one of his brother, and I set a great assembly against them. See, Nehemiah said, look, ye exact, you're forcing, you're compelling people to do what? To pay usury. What's usury? Usury is interest. And Nehemiah knew that it was against God's law for God's own people to charge usury, especially during a time of poverty, against God's own people. Verse number 8, and I said unto them, we, after our ability, have redeemed our brethren, the Jews, which were sold unto the heathen, and will ye even sell your brethren? Or shall they be sold unto us? Then held they their peace and found nothing to answer. See, sometimes what it takes for a man like Nehemiah to actually get angry and stand up to the mistreatment of God's own people. You know, Pastor preached about this, I think it was this past Sunday, last week, you got to be careful, you know, the people should be careful how they treat God's people. Because they're God's children, and God cares for them. And see Nehemiah getting upset for the poor mistreatment of God's own people. In verse number 9, also I said, it is not good that ye do. Notice, ought ye not to walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the heathen of our enemies? See, Nehemiah was a man who did what? Who walked in the fear of the Lord. Verse number 10, I likewise and my brethren and my servants might exact them money and corn. See, Nehemiah, being the governor of Judah at this time, being the ruler over the people, Nehemiah saying, look, I could treat these people just the way you're treating them too. I can mistreat them. I could exact of them usury. I could look down upon them. I could lift myself up and make sure they're down. He said, I likewise and my brethren and my servants might exact of them money and corn. I pray you, let us leave off this usury. Again, tell them, look, stop charging usury. Stop taking interest from the people when they have nothing more to give. Keep place there in Nehemiah 5, but go if you would to Leviticus 25. Leviticus chapter number 25. See, Nehemiah knew that God's people were commanded not to charge usury when God's people were poor or against God's people. Leviticus 25. And in Leviticus 25, we see the command, which is also found in Exodus 22, but in Leviticus 25, we see the command for not charging usury against people, against God's own people, when they're waxing poor. Leviticus 25, look at verse number 35, the Bible says, and if thy brother be waxing poor, notice, and fallen in decay with thee. What is that? That's hard times. Leviticus 25, verse 35. And if thy brother be waxing poor and fallen in decay with thee, then thou shalt relieve him. See, your job as a brother, when you see your brother in Christ going through hard times, it's not to trample on them and make them feel worse and make sure that they stay down so you stay up. No, your job is to what? To relieve him. Yea, though he be a stranger or sojourner, that he may live with thee. Take thou, verse 36, take thou no usury of him or increase, but what? But again, but fear thy God, just like Nehemiah. But fear thy God that thy brother may live with thee. What is it? That's compassion. And what you see about Nehemiah is that the good that Nehemiah did toward his people is that Nehemiah had compassion towards the people of God. And that's what these people were lacking. And here it says, look, take thou no usury of him or increase, but fear thy God that what? That thy brother may live with thee. It says that thy own brother may live just like you can live. That's having compassion. Thou shalt not give him thy money upon usury, nor lend him thy victuals for increase. Verse 38, I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, to give you the land of Canaan and to be your God. So Nehemiah goes up and he realizes that people are complaining. They're crying because there's a famine in the land. They have no money. What lands they had that were given unto them, they had to just mortgage just so they could physically live and survive. And God's own people were charging usury upon them. And this angered Nehemiah, the fact that God's people were being mistreated by God's own people, that they were charging usury upon them. And we see Nehemiah was the man who had compassion for God's people. Go back to Nehemiah 5, with Nehemiah chapter number 5. Notice what the people do. Nehemiah 5. Nehemiah 5, verse number 11, the Bible says, notice what Nehemiah tells them. He says, restore, I pray you, to them, even this day their lands, their vineyards, their olive yards, and their houses. Also the 100th part of the money, and of the corn, the wine, and the oil, they exact of them. Nehemiah says, look, you need to restore that which you've taken. Then said they, verse 12, we will restore them and will require nothing of them. So will we do as thou sayest. Then I called the priests and took an oath of them that they should do according to this promise. And praise God that these people, they actually got right. And you know what it took? It took a man like Nehemiah to actually get very angry and stand up and say, look, you're wrong for doing this. He said, I want you to make it right. I want you to restore. In verse 13, again, we see the anger of Nehemiah. Notice, also I shook my lap and said, so God shake out every man from his house and from his labor that performeth not his promise. Even thus be he shaken out and emptied. And as you read these verses, you look, you got to just feel the anger from this man, Nehemiah. That he's contending with them. He's rebuking them. He's shaking his lap and saying, so God shake everyone that doesn't keep this oath. And all the congregation said, amen and praise the Lord. And the people did according to this promise. See, look, it should anger us when we see God's people even being mistreated by other believers. It should anger us when, because here's the thing, look, I've been there before. When somebody messes with my friend, you know, out in the world or whatever, you know, you get upset, right? You get this attitude like, you mess with my friend, you mess with me. But look, this should be an attitude that we have for our fellow brethren. That our fellow brother is being mistreated, is being harmed, is being hurt, is falling through hard times, and we just don't care. Or we just make it worse by not even like helping them or consoling them or just being there for them or praying for them. Like, we should have compassion, and it should anger us when God's people are being mistreated, yes, even by other believers. Go through to 1 John chapter number 3, 1 John 3. Keep place there in Nehemiah 5. We're going to come back there. See, Nehemiah said, God, think upon me, God. Think upon me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people. So when he says this people, it's not Nehemiah is not talking about just his own personal life, the people that he knows in his own life, just his own immediate family. No, when he says this people, the good that I've done for God's people. And look, in your life, you should live such a way where you want God to look down upon you because you do so much good for the people of God in this church, for other believers. 1 John chapter number 3, look at verse number 16. 1 John 3:16, the Bible says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. Notice, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Again, this theme of having love and compassion for the brethren. You know, the Bible says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. See, look, there's something different about the household of faith. There should be something different about the household of faith for you. The fact that it's your family, the fact that you were once dying and going to hell, who we were bastards before we got saved, but now we are sons. What love hath the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God? And here it says, hereby perceive we the love of God. This is how we can see the love of God in you. Because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Verse 17, but whoso hath this world's good, and see this brother have need, and shutteth up, notice his bowels of, notice this word again, of compassion from him. You see, what was Nehemiah angry about? Nehemiah was angry because he was a man who had some compassion for his brethren. How dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue. Because look, that's easy to do. It's easy to love in word and in tongue. Because anyone can say, oh, I love the brethren. Anyone can say, I love whatever it is. You know, I love you. I love this. You know? But the Bible says, look, let us not love in word, neither in tongue. Because look, talk is cheap. But notice, but in deed and in truth. There should be a deed behind our love. There should be an action behind our love. God so loved the world that he gave, he did something about it. And look, our love should be followed with action, with deeds. And Nehemiah was the man who said, look, think upon me, my God, for the good that I've done according to this people. Go to 1 John chapter 4, if you would, just one chapter over. 1 John 4, look at verse number 20. 1 John 4:20. 1 John 4:20. Notice, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. Like, and I'm sure in this time, the people of Nehemiah, those who were charging usury, I'm sure, you know what they're probably thinking? They're probably thinking like, well, I'm doing you a favor because, you know, I'm giving you money. They're probably not thinking about the interest that they're charging, the fact that they can't pay. And I'm sure they could say, well, I love God, or I love God's people. But if a man say, I love God, notice, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. Verse 20, for he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Well, this is a great verse to show, look, that you as a Christian, you got to have love for your brother in Christ. You know what this entails? This entails this word called forgiveness. which people don't like to hear. Because, you know, it's easy for us to do, it's easy for us to be like the Pharisees who we love those who love us. You know, what thank have you if you only love those who love you? Because, look, that's easy to do. But look, here it says, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. So don't say you love God if you're just in your heart hating your brother. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Verse 21, and this commandment have we from him. Notice, that he who loveth God love his brother also. See, it's a command that if you love God, then you love your brother also. See, why was Nehemiah so upset? Nehemiah was upset because God's own people were being mistreated. And Nehemiah had a compassion for God's people. And look, you and I, we should have some compassion for each other. Meaning, look, that we should just bear each other's burdens. Meaning, look, if somebody is in a sin that maybe you're not involved in or that you've never struggled with, we shouldn't look down upon other people just because you never dealt with that sin. We should pray for them and be there for them and not trample on them and make them feel bad or make them feel low just because they're struggling with something that maybe you've never struggled with. Yeah, maybe you've never been an alcoholic or a drug addict or whatever it is. Maybe you never committed some awful sin. But look, people are hurting and they made mistakes in the past. And we shouldn't look down on people and trample them and make them feel bad. No, we should bear each other's burdens and pray for other people and pray for our believer in Christ and not make sure that we stay up and they stay down. See, we should have love for the brethren. We should do good unto all men, but especially into the household of faith. You see, Nehemiah, when he said, look, think upon me, my God, for the good that I've done according to this people, Nehemiah got upset with other believers who are mistreating other believers. And this is something that I'm sure we've seen in our pastor's preaching, is that when he gets upset, when he sees people being mistreated in the church by other believers, why? Because it makes a righteous man angry that somebody who got saved, Jesus died for them, yet somebody else is going to get mad at them, just be angry and bitter and hostile and bring them down. It's like, why would you do that? Of course a righteous man is going to get angry at that. But we should have compassion and love for other believers. Go back to Nehemiah 5. Nehemiah 5. You see, what was Nehemiah's good toward the people of God is that he had compassion for them and he loved them. And he stood up to people who were mistreating other believers. Go back to Nehemiah 5. How else do we see Nehemiah's compassion? Well, Nehemiah was also including people. He was not excluding people. Nehemiah was an inclusive believer. You know, Nehemiah was trying to get along with everyone. Oh, when he got mad at people who were, doing wrong and needed to be corrected. But in Nehemiah 5, look at verse number 14. Nehemiah 5, 14, the Bible says, moreover, from the time that I was appointed to be their governor, what's that? That's the ruler in the land of Judah. From the 20th year even unto the 22 and 30th year of Artaxerxes the king, that is 12 years, I and my brethren have not eaten the bread of the governor. Notice, but the former governors that had been before me were chargeable unto the people. See, Nehemiah is saying, look, I am the governor, I am the ruler, but I'm not like these former governors. I'm not like these former rulers. See, the former governors, the former rulers, what were they doing? Verse 15, and had taken from them bread and wine, beside 40 shekels of silver. Yea, even their servants bear rule over the people. But so did not I because of the fear of God. See, the former governors before Nehemiah, they were abusing their power. They were abusing their influence just to bear rule over the people, just to take from them money, wine, bread, just for their own gain, just so that they can lift themselves up. Even their rulers bear over the people. But Nehemiah is saying, look, I'm not like these former rulers. He says, look, but so did not I. See why? Again, because of the fear of God. See, again, because of the fear of God, Nehemiah had compassion for the people and didn't want to take advantage of them and charge usury. Because of the fear of God, Nehemiah could have used his power and influence because, yes, he was the ruler, but he said, you know, I'm not going to be like these former governors. I'm going to be a man of integrity, a man of God, and not bear rule over the people like that. Verse 16, notice how Nehemiah led. Yea, also I continued in the work of this wall. Here we see a leader, Nehemiah, who is willing to work alongside the people. Neither bought we any land. And notice, all my servants were gathered thither unto the work. See, again, we see a leader who is willing to work alongside the people. Moreover, verse 17, there were at my table, notice, 150 of the Jews and rulers, beside those that came unto us from among the heathen that are about us. I want you to notice Nehemiah, at his table, he included 150 of the Jews and rulers at his table. I mean, that's a pretty big banquet hall. But not just that, notice, and beside those that came unto us from among the heathen that are about us. See, Nehemiah wasn't this just exclusive leader. No, stay away from me. I'm the ruler. I'm the leader, so you have to serve me. It's all about me. Let me use my power and influence to extract money, extract bread and wine just for my own pleasure. Use my servants to rule over the people. No, Nehemiah was a man of the people who was willing to work alongside the people, who was willing to be an inclusive leader, not an exclusive person. So, look, we ought to just be willing to be inclusive towards God's people. See, Nehemiah was a man who had compassion, who actually cared about people, and he's willing to work alongside them, to include them in the meal, to bring them along with him. You know, I read this chapter, and, you know, of course, I'm going to bring up our pastor because I thought about our pastor, right? I thought about the work days, the nightmare that were those work days. I'm trying to forget. I think I have PTSD from those days. They were a nightmare. But I just have this vivid memory because we were talking about it. And, you know, our pastor, he didn't have to be there as often as he did. But he was there as more times than he should have been there. Because you know what? He's leading the church. He's preaching sermons. He's helping people. He's counseling people. All the while, he's still coming to the building and physically working here. And there's one moment in particular that I remember that I even told him, like, most people wouldn't be doing what you're doing. And he was literally inside the dumpster, just shoveling dirt, shoveling just piles of dirt out of the dumpster just to clear it out. And I thought to myself, you know what? This is what a leader looks like. A man who's actually willing to get in the dumpster and get sweaty and work physically hard alongside the people. And not just be this ruler who's just, it's all about me, I'm lifting myself up. No, he's including himself in the work, like Nehemiah. He says, I and my brethren that have not eaten the bread of the governor, it says, I continued in the work of this wall, neither bought we any land. All my servants were gathered thither unto the work. You see, in your life, you ought to be somebody who is an inclusive Christian and not live your life in such a way where you're just excluding people. It's just my four and no more. It's just all about me and my little group. No, you ought to have love for the believers. And when it comes to the work, you ought to just get in the unity and get in the work of the things of God. Keep listening to Nehemiah 5. Go to Romans 15 if you go to Romans chapter 15. Go to Romans 15. You see, Nehemiah said, think upon me, my God, for good, according to that I've done it to this people. And like, how can we get God's attention? Well, let me ask you this. You know, what are your good deeds towards the people of God? See, Nehemiah was a man who had compassion, a man who stood up when his fellow believer was being mistreated. Nehemiah was a man who's willing to get in the work, who was not living, who could have easily said, no, this is all for me. Give me the governor's bread and push people away. But no, he was inclusive with people. He brought people in. Romans 15, look at verse number 1. Romans 15, 1, the Bible says, we then that are strong, notice, ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. See, if you've been here for a while, if you're mature in the faith, we then that are strong, we shouldn't just keep ourselves strong and just be strong for the sake of being strong. No, we got to bear the infirmities of the weak. And notice, and not to please ourselves, not to live a life that's just for me, myself, and I. No, you know why we come here to church? To learn and, Lord willing, grow and change? It's so that we can actually come alongside someone, yes, who is weak, who is new. Yes, who doesn't know what the Bible says. Yes, who used to be involved in that sin. Yes, who is struggling in their marriage, struggling in their life, struggling with their health, so that you, those of you who are strong, aren't just strong for the sake of being strong for yourself, to please yourself. No, we're strong so we could bear and carry the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Verse 2, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good, notice, to edification, to build them up. You say, why? For even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. Verse number 7, wherefore, notice, receive ye one another, as Christ also received us. I mean, those are great words. It says, receive ye one another. We should be receiving each other. You see, in what way? Well, in the same way as Christ also received us. You think about that? Is that when you asked, when you called upon the Lord for salvation, was Jesus like, well, you know, I'll save you, but you know, you have this thing that I just can't accept. You have this one sin that I just can't tolerate. You have this one irritation that I can't handle. You have this one little thing. No, when you got saved, it was all of it. All your sins are forgiven. He took all of you, all of it. In the same way, look, it says, receive ye one another as Christ also received us. See, we should live in a way that is inclusive with people, not exclusive with people. Where our lives is not just about us and me and my friends and my crew and how I live and my own personal immediate family. No, we come here so we can all learn and grow and receive those who are weak and strengthen them. Go to Ephesians 4, go to Ephesians chapter 4. As you go to Ephesians 4, the Bible says in Galatians 6, 2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You go to Ephesians 4. In 1 Thessalonians 3, 12, the Bible says, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. See, we're to bear one another's burdens. Those of us who are strong, quote unquote, ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. We ought to receive one another as Christ also received us. We ought to increase and abound in love one toward another. Ephesians 4, look, verse number 1, the Bible says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation worthy you are called, with all lowliness and meekness. Notice, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Notice, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You know what's great about the Bible is, you know, as you read the Bible, we often think that, man, the Bible is going to just rip face against the world, and it does. Against the sin and wickedness of the world, and it does. But you know what? Most often, it's God's own people. We have Nehemiah fighting against God's own people because God's own people are doing what? They're just mistreating other believers. We have former governors who are just abusing their power just to lift themselves up, to push people away, keep other people down. Just for their own pleasure. But that's not what the Bible teaches. We should be doing what? Endeavoring to keep the unity, include each other. Increase and abound in love one toward another. And toward all men, even as we do toward you. Go back to Ephesians 5, or go back to Nehemiah 5, put Nehemiah 5. We see Nehemiah's good toward the people of God. Nehemiah 5, look verse number 18. Nehemiah 5:18, again, we see the compassion of this man, Nehemiah, for his people. Now, that which was prepared for me daily was one ox and six choice sheep, verse 18. Also, fowls were prepared for me, and once in 10 days, store of all sorts of wine. Yet for all this required not I the bread of the governor. You say, why? Even though he could, why didn't you, Nehemiah? Because the bondage was heavy upon this people. And then he says, think upon me, my God, for good, according to all that I've done for this people. And look, in our lives, you know what we want? We want God to look upon the good that we've done in our lives. And God does look at the good you do in your lives. But in this instance, you know, Nehemiah said, look, I want you to think upon me, my God, for good, according to all that I've done for this people. And so my question for you is, you know, when God looks at your good toward this people, you know, what does he see? Does he see a believer who's compassionate towards other believers? Who's there to help another believer? Who's there to lift up another believer? Do you get angry when another believer is being mistreated? Yes, even by other believers. Does God see somebody who is inclusive or just exclusive? See, Nehemiah said, look, I'm a man who's compassionate. And I want God to think upon me for all the good that I've done for this people. So number one, we see Nehemiah is good toward the people of God. But number two, we also see in this man Nehemiah, Nehemiah is good toward the house of God. Go to Nehemiah 13, if you would, Nehemiah chapter 13. Nehemiah 13. In Nehemiah 13, we don't have the exact same phrase that we see in verse number 19 of Nehemiah 5. We have something similar that Nehemiah says. Another instance where he's requesting God to think of the good that he's done in his life. Nehemiah 13, look verse number 14. Nehemiah 13, 14. He says, notice, remember me, O my God. Notice, he says, why? He says, concerning this, and wipe not out my good deeds that I have done, you say, what, for what? For the house of my God, and for the offices thereof. See, when Nehemiah wants God to look down upon him, and to think of him, and consider him, and see the good that he's done, Nehemiah says, God, I want you to think of me, remember me concerning the good deeds that I have done for the house of my God. You know, one way that you and I can get God's attention is to do good toward the house of God. You see, what did Nehemiah do here at this time? Well, earlier we saw the mistreatment of Nehemiah's people. Now we see the mistreatment of the house of God. Nehemiah 13, look at verse number 4, Nehemiah 13, 4. The Bible says, Nehemiah 13:4, and before this, Eliashib, the priest, having the oversight of the chamber of the house of our God. And obviously, for sake of time, we're just going to get right into the story. But Eliashib, who is a priest, he's given the oversight, the charge over the chamber of the house of our God. But notice what it says about this man Eliashib. He was allied unto Tobiah. Now, for sake of time, I'm not going to get into it, but Tobiah is actually an enemy of God. He's there to hinder the work. He's there against Nehemiah and against God's people. But we see Eliashib, the priest, who had the oversight of the chamber of the house of our God, he was allied unto this man, Tobiah, who's actually an enemy of God. And notice what he does in verse number 5. And he prepared for him a great chamber. Now, it says he prepared for him a great chamber. He's referring to a chamber in the house of God, where aforetime they laid the meat offerings, the frankincense and the vessels, and the tithes of the corn, the new wine, and the oil which was commanded to be given to the Levites and the singers and the porters and the offerings of the priests. I want you to notice is that Eliashib the priest, who was allied unto the enemy of God, he prepared a great chamber for this man who was not a good guy. And he takes out the things from the house of God just to bring in this wicked man, Tobiah. And we see the condition of the house of God. That at this time, we see that God's people were allowing the world to come into the house of God. In verse number 6, you see, what happened? Where was Nehemiah? Well, this is what happens when the leader's away, in verse number 6. But in all this time was not I at Jerusalem. For the 230th year of Artaxerxes, the king of Babylon, came I unto the king. And after certain days obtained I leave of the king. You see, when the cat's away, the mice will play. And we see what happens when strong leadership is not around. We see God's people mistreating the house of God and doing what? They're removing the things that belong to God, removing the tithes, removing the corn, removing that which it's the chamber of the house of God to bring in Tobiah, to bring in the world. And look, you got to realize, look, as believers, we got to be careful of this, not to be the Christian, the believer who wants to bring the world into the house of God. And look, your influence can do this. And obviously, you know, our pastor is not going to rule over God's heritage. He's not going to tell you what you should and shouldn't watch on TV, what movies you should and shouldn't watch. He'll influence you, but he won't force you to do anything in your home. You can do what you want. You can listen to whoever you want to out there in the world, whatever wicked music you want to listen to, whatever reprobate you want to listen to. But once you start bringing it into the house of God, then there's a problem. Then we start mistreating the house of God. And we see at this time, God's people were mistreating the house of God. And what do we see? We see the reaction from Nehemiah, verse number 7. And I came to Jerusalem and understood of the evil that Eliashib did for Tobiah in preparing him a chamber in the courts of the house of God. Notice, and it grieved me sore. It grieved them sore. And look, it ought just upset us when somebody wants to bring in the filth of the world into the church. You see, how could I, you see, my friend is bringing me this music, bringing me this whatever, this movie that's just wickedness in the house of God. You should just shut him down and say, look, that doesn't belong in the house of God. You can watch whichever you want to watch too, listen to whatever you want to do out there in your own home, in your own life. But when it comes to the house of God, have some respect for the house of God. And don't just bring in Tobiah, bring in the world and think it's okay. And thank God it says, and it grieved me sore. Therefore, notice the anger of this man, Nehemiah. Therefore, I cast forth all the household stuff of Tobiah out of the chamber. He got so mad, he just starts cleaning house. Just starts throwing stuff away, as he should. But we see that, you know what's needed? We see that a strong leader is needed in the house of God. And people don't like this. But this is what we need. See, without strong leadership, people will mistreat the house of God. This is why, look, we need somebody who is a strong leader. And thank God we have a strong leader. Which is why, like Nehemiah, he's just one man. One man who's going to sometimes confront, yes, even you and me. Yes, whoever it is. Who's going to confront and contend for the things of God. And sometimes he has to do it. He has to clean house. That's what a strong leader does. Go to 1 Timothy 3. If you go to 1 Timothy 3. 1 Timothy 3. So we see Nehemiah's good towards what? Toward the house of God. And look, we think of that word good. You know what we think? We think, man, everyone must love Nehemiah. But you know what I bet? I bet Nehemiah had a lot of haters. I bet Nehemiah, when he got up to those rulers and nobles, I'm sure people weren't loving him then. I'm sure when he was throwing out that stuff, you know, all the work that it took to bring all that garbage from Tobiah in, when he's just throwing it out there, I'm sure people were like, man, all this work. But thank God that Nehemiah was just one man who actually just got some righteous indignation and cared about what the Bible actually says. But see, without a strong leader to rule, people will mistreat the house of God. And this is true of your home. If you're a husband in your home, if you don't rule your house well, guess what? It's going to go to shambles. 1 Timothy 3, verse 1, this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, a husband, one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. And of course, here we see the qualifications of a pastor. One is to be vigilant, meaning watchful. Because look, people didn't think, it's just nobody, obviously Eliashib was fooled by Tobiah. It's not that big of a deal. It's not that big of a deal if I just talk about this movie that I watched. That's obviously just worldly and garbage. That I bring in this foolish music and try to influence other people to listen to it. This foolish whoever influencer who's a reprobate, not of God. It's not that big of a deal. I'm sure the Eliashibs out there think it's not a big deal. But you know what? Somebody who's vigilant, like Nehemiah, like our pastor, they say, no, this is a big deal. Verse 3, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. One that, notice this word, one that ruleth well his own house. One that rules well. You know what it takes to rule well? It takes some strength to rule well. This is why most people can't do it. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man don't know how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? So you need a strong ruler in order to be able to keep things straight in the straight and narrow. And thank God for our pastor, who is a strong ruler. And yes, like Nehemiah, sometimes he has to contend even with his own people to make sure that things are right and that they should be. Because without strong leadership, guess what? People will mistreat the house of God. Yes, including this house too. Look at verse number 15, 1 Timothy 3:15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. He's saying, how thou oughtest to behave thyself. And at this time, look, the people are bringing in the garbage of the world, just behaving however they want to. Well, Nehemiah's not here. And just anything just goes. Pastor's not here, so I guess anything just goes. No. This is what happens when there is no strong leadership. People just think they can just mistreat the house of God, do whatever they want. But no, we need strong leadership, like our pastor, to make sure things are in the straight and narrow. Go back to Nehemiah 13, Notice how the people respond to Nehemiah. Notice the response from the people. Nehemiah 13, look at verse number 9. The Bible says, then I commanded, and they cleansed the chambers. Nehemiah 13, 9. He goes in there. It grieves him sore. He casts forth all the household stuff of Tobiah out of the chamber. And in verse number 9, then I commanded, and they cleansed. That's a great response. When Nehemiah shows up, he says, hey, this needs to get cleaned up. And the people say, you know what? Yes, sir. And that should be our response. That when the ruler of the house of God, obviously the Lord Jesus Christ is the ruler, we get that. But when the pastor says, hey, this needs to be cleaned up, you know the response is? Yes, sir. It's called obey them that have the rule over you. And submit yourselves for the watch for your souls. It says, then I commanded and they cleansed the chambers. And thither brought I again the vessels of the house of God. Look, restoring things to the way they should be. And you know, people don't like this. But you know what? People probably didn't like Nehemiah. People just don't like a strong leader. You see why? Because they want to just do whatever they want to do. They don't want somebody to rule. But this is what it takes. And we see the good response of the people. The people responded, they say, you know what? Yes, sir. Then they cleansed. So my question for you is, how do you respond? When the leader shows up and says, hey, this has got to change. This has got to get cleaned up. Is it a response of just complaining and murmuring and bickering? Or is it, you know what? Then they cleansed. then they just got it right. See, Nehemiah said, look, remember me, my God, for the good that I've done. Yes, also, yes to the people, but also toward the house of God. And at this time, we see that people are mistreating the house of God, bringing in the garbage of the world into the house of God, acting however they want to act, doing whatever they want to do. They saw nothing wrong with it, taking out the things that belong in the house of God, bringing in Tobiah. And Nehemiah says, no. He shows up and he cleans house. He says, no, this is how it's supposed to be. This is how it's supposed to go. And then I commanded and they cleansed. So we see Nehemiah doing good toward the house of God. When they were mistreating it, Nehemiah came in and cleaned house. But not just that. We don't see the people just mistreating the house of God. We see people mistreating the spiritual leadership. And look, as you read this, this was written thousands of years ago. But you know what? Obviously, it applies today as well. Nehemiah 13, look verse number 10. Nehemiah 13, 10, notice, and I perceived, notice, that the portions of the Levites had not been given them. I like how it says, and I perceived, because this is what it takes to be a good leader. You have to have perception. See, it doesn't say, hey, somebody came and told me that the portions of the Levites had not been given them. No, Nehemiah, because he's a man of God, he has some perception, he has some emotional intelligence, he perceived, hey, look, it seems like the portions of the Levites had not been given them. The Levites, who are the Levites? Those are the priests who work in the house of God. And their portion is to get paid from the tithes and offerings in the house of God. But here it says that the portions of the Levites had not been given them. For the Levites and the singers that, notice, that did the work were fled, everyone to his field. See, the spiritual leadership, the Levites, they were not being taken care of. And for that reason, it just says they fled, everyone to his field. Probably because they had some spiritual maturity. They weren't complaining. They just went to work. But this wasn't right. Notice in verse 11, then again contended I with the rulers. See, Nehemiah, again, willing to fight for what's right for the house of God. Then contended I with the rulers and said, why is the house of God forsaken? And I gathered them together, notice, and set them in their place. He just put them in their place. Sometimes that's needed. Then brought all Judah the tithe of the corn and the new wine and the oil into the treasuries. And I made treasurers over the treasuries. Shelemiah the priest and Zadok the scribe and the Levites, Pedaiah next to them was Hanan the son of Zachar, the son of Mattaniah. For they were counted faithful and their office was to distribute unto their brethren. Verse 14, again, remember me, O my God, concerning this and wipe not out my good deeds that I have done for the house of God, notice, and for the offices thereof. See, Nehemiah wanted God to remember him, yes, for keeping the garbage of the world out of the house of God. And look, this should be you. Where your influence in this church is not, you don't bring in garbage into the house of God. That people know if they go to you with this garbage that's from the world, you're someone who's going to say, you know what, get that garbage out of the house of God. We shouldn't be talking about the wickedness or that filth. It's not even, it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done to them in secret. But not just that, not just for the house of my God, notice, and for the offices thereof. See, Nehemiah was upset that what? That the spiritual leadership was being mistreated. And look, this should be you and I today, that we get upset when our spiritual leader is being mistreated. Go if you go to 1 Thessalonians 5, go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And here's the thing. To me, this is easy because, look, I just believe the Bible. This should be easy for anyone if you just read the Bible and believe the Bible and see what the Bible says. But it should upset us when our spiritual leadership, our spiritual leader, our pastor is being mistreated. It would upset Nehemiah. 1 Thessalonians 5, look at verse number 12. 1 Thessalonians 5, 12, the Bible says, and we beseech you, brethren, 1 Thessalonians 5, 12, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which, notice, labor among you and are over you in the Lord. In Nehemiah 13, we saw that, look, that the portions of the Levites had not been given them for the Levites and the singers that did the work. You know what it is work to be a pastor? And here it says, to know them which labor among you, notice, and are over you in the Lord, notice, and admonish you. They admonish you to do what's right. They admonish you to get the sin out of your life. They admonish you to do what's right. And to do what? Verse 13. And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. You know the word esteem means to have a high value or estimation, to hold in great regard, to have a favorable opinion. Like you should have a favorable opinion of our pastor, who works extremely hard. esteem them very highly loved. Why? It says, for their work's sake. Because the work that he's doing is great. And guess what? It's a work that you can't do. It's a work that I can't do. It's a work that, obviously, God's no respecter of persons. But it's just funny to me that people just want to show up to a church. They want to tell the pastor how to run things. It's like, you're not a pastor. You're not even qualified to be a pastor. Why don't you first rule your own house well? And then we could talk. But it's like, no, it's like you should esteem him very highly loved for his work's sake and be at peace among yourselves. See, it's labor. It's hard work. And Nehemiah was upset that the spiritual leadership was being mistreated. He was working hard, slaving away. They're out there slaving, but guess what? The portions are not being given them. The due honor is not being given them. The due respect, the high esteem and love. And they're doing what? They're going out there working in their own fields. Nehemiah said, look, that's not right. You should bring them back and treat them the way they should be treated. And like in your life, you should be someone who esteems your pastor very highly loved for his work's sake. Because it's a lot of work. People think it's easy, but it's not easy. And so Nehemiah says, look, remember me, my God, concerning this. And wipe not out my good deeds that I've done for the house of my God and for the offices thereof. And so my question for you is, you know, when God looks down upon you in your life, you know, what does he see when it comes to the good that you do toward the house of God? When it comes to people bringing in the world and the garbage, what does he see from you? When it comes to the man of God being mistreated, it should anger us. It should make us upset. And say, no, this isn't right. The portions, what's due unto him is not being given him. Let's make things right. And Nehemiah was a man who was able to stand up. He's fighting with his people. To do what? To make sure that people aren't being mistreated. Because he cares about them. Because he wants to help them. Working alongside them. We see Nehemiah fighting against God's own people. Why? Because people are just mistreating the house of God. Mistreating the spiritual leadership. But not just that. Go back to Nehemiah 13. If we Nehemiah chapter number 13. So number one, we see Nehemiah is good toward the people of God. Number two, we see Nehemiah is good toward the house of God. And all these things, these are the times that Nehemiah is saying, look, God, I want you to look down upon me in my life and look at the good that I've done. The good that I've done towards God's people, towards the house of God. And number three, we see Nehemiah is good according to the laws of God. Nehemiah is good according to the laws of God. And I'll keep this one short. Nehemiah 13, verse number 15, we see people were not taking the word of God seriously. Nehemiah 13, 15, the Bible says, in those days I saw in Judah some treading winepress on the Sabbath and bringing in sheaves and leading asses, as also wine, grapes, and figs, and all manner of burdens, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. Notice, and I testified against them in the day when they sold victuals. See, Nehemiah was testifying, preaching against God's people for doing what? For not taking the Sabbath seriously. For not taking the word of God seriously. For not obeying the word of God as they were supposed to. And Nehemiah is doing what? He's contending with them. Verse number 17. Then I contended with the nobles of Judah. Again, just fighting with God's own people. I contended, notice, with the nobles of Judah. Because usually it's the nobles of Judah. And said unto them, what evil thing is this that you do and profane the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers thus, and did not our God bring all this evil upon us and upon this city? Yet you bring more wrath upon Israel by profaning the Sabbath? Verse number 21, notice what the Bible says. Then I testified against them, verse 21, and said unto them, why lodge ye about the wall? If ye do so again, notice, I will lay hands on you. You see, Nehemiah just angry and upset that people are not taking the laws of God seriously. And we see some righteous indignation. Verse number 22, notice what he says, Nehemiah. And I command the Levites that they should cleanse themselves and that they should come and keep the gates to sanctify the Sabbath day. Notice what he says again. Remember me, O my God, concerning this also. And spare me according to the greatness of thy mercy. I mean, those are great words. He says, remember me, O my God, concerning this also. And spare me according to the greatness of thy mercy. See, Nehemiah was a man who didn't mess around with the word of God. Then Nehemiah was a man who he saw God's people just disobeying the Bible, disobeying the word of God, breaking the Sabbath, selling victuals just so they can make some money. And Nehemiah said, look, this isn't right. The word of God says, look, we should keep the Sabbath, sanctify the Sabbath day. And he testifies and he contends with people to get right with the Lord. See, you and I, we got to take the word of God serious. Not just that, we see people who are not taking separation seriously. Not just the Sabbath, but also separation. And I'm not going to read this whole thing, but verse number 23, we see that God's people were marrying wives of Ashtar, of Ammon, and of Moab. In verse number 25, it says, "And I contended with them and cursed them and smote certain of them and plucked off their hair and made them swear by God, saying, you shall not give your daughters unto their sons, nor take their daughters unto your sons or for yourselves." At this time, God's people were not taking separation seriously. Like you and I, we ought to take separation seriously. We ought to take the word of God seriously. And in verse 31, the famous verse again from Nehemiah, "And for the wood offering at times appointed, and for the first fruits," he says at the end, "remember me, O my God, for good." You see, how can I seek God's attention? You can seek God's attention by taking the word of God seriously. And this is something that, you know what, only God can see in your life. Because you know what, we don't go home and watch what you do, and nobody watches what anyone does. But you know, God knows what you do. God knows what you do when you leave these doors and you live your life, and what you do with what you've been taught from the pulpit, what you do with what you've been taught from your Bible reading, what you do with what you've been taught. And you say, how can I see God's attention? Well, you see God's attention not when everyone's watching you. It's when no one's watching you. Amen. And we see Nehemiah was a man who was led by principles. And guess what? Those principles caused him to get in conflict even with his own people. And this might happen to you. But you know what? Praise the Lord. Go to 1 Thessalonians 2, if you go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We'll be done soon. 1 Thessalonians 2. See, you should do good according to the laws of God. People were not taking the Sabbath seriously. They were not taking separation seriously. They weren't taking the word of God seriously. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse number 13. 1 Thessalonians 2, 13, the Bible says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because, notice, when he received the word of God, which he heard of us," it says he received it not as the word of men. See, Paul's saying to the Thessalonians, look, when you heard the word of God, when you heard it preached unto us, unto you, you didn't receive it as the word of men. You weren't like, oh man, here's, you know, Paul again. Here's Brother Oliver. Here's Pastor again. Just, you know, filling time, filling an hour. But no, it says you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. Which, notice, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. You know, the word of God will effectually work also in you that believe. But in those of you who don't believe, those of you who think, oh, it's just, you know, Brother so-and-so preaching, it's just pastor giving his opinion. But no, for those of you who believe the word of God, who you receive it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, will effectually work in you, also in you that believe. So in your life, you got to just take the word of God seriously. And say, hey, look, if the Bible says it, that settles it. And live a life of principle that people don't have to be watching you. And see, Nehemiah was a man who did good according to the laws of God. And he's a man who said, remember me, oh my God, for good. And in your life, in my life, we should be people who say, you know what, God, I want you to remember me for the good that I've done. We see Nehemiah's good toward the people of God. He had compassion for God's people. Yes, even those below him. Because he cared about them. He was inclusive. He was not exclusive. We see Nehemiah's good toward the house of God. People were mistreating the house of God, bringing in the garbage, but Nehemiah said, no, get the garbage out. They were mistreating the spiritual leadership, not giving them their portions of what's due unto them. We see Nehemiah's good according to the laws of God. They weren't taking it seriously. So my question for you is, when God looks down on you, you know, what does he see? Does he see someone who cares for God's people, who cares for the house of God, who cares for the word of God? Because if it isn't, then it should be. That should be me and you. We should say, remember me, oh my God, for good. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening, God. I thank you for your word, for our church, for everyone that's here. I ask you, please give us all a tender heart to the message. I ask you, be with our lives, Lord. Help us to put you first in all things, to love you in all things, and to love your word more and more, to grow. And I just thank you for your patience with each and every one of us, Lord. And I know we don't deserve it, but I just pray that you continue to work in our lives. Help us to learn, to grow, to love you, and to be better Christians for you, Lord. Because you're the pastor, and he's away in his family, that they come home safely, God. We love you, Jesus' name, pray. Amen.